is after him, but it's Faheen who's bounding clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Faheen maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Remy Walsh. Faheen's a champion. Arctic
never in any doubt that it's going to be a magnificent hat-trick in the race for the Willie Mullins trade for Vega, and a treble on the day for Ruby. He didn't have to move a muscle.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the third week of the Cheltenham Countdown in the From the Horse's Mouth podcast series. 7 weeks, gentlemen and ladies, until the Cheltenham Festival. Now, this week we are going to talk about the novice hurdles. We've got the Supreme Novice Hurdle, well, the Open Novice Hurdles, that is, the Supreme Novice Hurdle, the Ballymore, and of course the Albert Barta. But before I bring in our wonderful panel of Ruby Walsh, Rory DeLargy, and Frank Hickey, we have tickets, yes, to the Dublin Racing Festival, and boy oh boy is it going to be fun. The doors are open. We've got tickets. I think the Leopardstown website shut down after the announcement that Ireland is going to open up again, such as the demand for tickets. But we have tickets for you for the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup Day. 5 pairs to give away to win. Just quote tweet one of Paddy Power's tweets about this very show and include the hashtag FTHM, means From the Horse's Mouth. And if you do say something nice, you probably got a better chance of winning those tickets. So 5 pairs of tickets to the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup Day at Dublin Racing Festival. Easy to win. Now, before we get into the tipping, trivia for our three assembled guests, who are Ruby Walsh, Frank Hickey, and Rory DeLargy. Let's get cracking. Here's the question. The Irish have won the Albert Bartlett on, well, it was first run in 2005. How many times have Ireland won all three novice hurdles in that time? So obviously Supreme, the Ballymore, and the Albert Bartlett. How many times?
What's that, 16 years?
Since 2005, yeah.
16, so I'd say, here, I guess, 8.
Rory?
I'll bet it's considerably less. I'll go 3.
Frank?
I won't say 3, but I'll go lower again. I'll go 2.
Pretty poor, lads. 5. So you're in the middle. 2009, 2014, 2015, 2019, and 2021.
To be obviously. Honest, when you're asking questions like that, Rory is about a 3-1 on shot to get it, you know, to win between the three of us, I would have thought.
He is, because I'm definitely going to guess. So at least Frank can make a calculated assumption, and Rory might actually know. So, hey.
Yeah. Can't believe you didn't go in the middle, Frank. Your last answer. So you had the chance there. Just hit the middle, hit the button. Anyway, yeah. So 5 times the Irish won all three novices. And I'd say there's a good chance that they could do it again this year. We'll talk about, as ever, the first race of the Supreme Novice Hurdle. But before we do that, lads, what a race we had at the weekend. It was the Clarence House, but it was Shishkin in action against Energamine. Frank Hickey, I'm actually come to you first, because you were so adamant that Energamine was going to do it. He was going to put Shishkin in his place. He still gave him a mighty, mighty race, but pings of disappointment for you, were there? Or pangs of disappointment?
Yeah, look, it was a brilliant race. Really, really enjoyable, bar the last 50 yards, because we'd kind of been, you know, happy enough to take Shishkin on. We were 4-5 best nearly all the evening before, all day. So we would have over-indexed as a result, and we were under Energamine 11-8. Now, it did come to us very late in the day, but that would have shaped a lot of our field book. Yeah, like, it's hard to know, like, without seeing sectionals, or like, did they go absolutely hard all the way? Like, I kind of thought Energamine might kick on about 3-4 out, and try and draw the thing out of Shishkin. Whether I haven't looked at time, so I don't know if that was the case. To me, it looked like the way Paul was sitting still until just about 2 out, that maybe he didn't. Would that have made a difference? I don't know. Maybe he wasn't able to go any quicker. He may not have been able to. But I wouldn't be completely convinced. Initially, my reaction was, if Energamine couldn't beat him at Ascot, he couldn't beat him at Cheltenham. But watching it back, Shishkin didn't jump perfectly. And you just think, if, you know, get him under a little bit of pressure, and he makes, like, the fence he made, then he nodded at. Like, if he does that at the wrong fence at Cheltenham, you know, he could be in a spot of bother. And I don't think it's as straightforward as saying Shishkin will definitely beat him at Cheltenham. I don't.
Your initial reaction, Ruby, after you saw it? I know you were working for Racing TV in the day, but I'm sure you were able to catch it.
Yeah, I did catch it and watched it. I've watched it several times since. And my initial reaction was, where do you find the difference? Now, it is only, three parts of a length. It's not a massive amount to find, but everything looked to go perfectly for Renner Germain. His jump and the way he travelled, even the speed of the race, it built all the way. A couple of quick fractions down the hill, which you'd expect with the undulations. They were strong. It was a strong gallop from Swindley Bottom all the way home. Renner Germain did tire a little bit from the back of the last. His last fraction, last furlong, was the slowest. But I think in a race of that calibre, that's probably to be expected as well. And I don't know. I don't know where Renner Germain finds it. I mean, Shishkin was the only one to make a mistake. It looks like you're going to need him to make two to beat him.
Rory, were you of the opinion that this was the day that Renner Germain could beat Shishkin and Cheltenham's going to be harder?
Yeah, obviously it will be. You get the impression that Shishkin's probably going to be better suited to Cheltenham. He was wide most of the way there. He's probably a little happier going left-handed, having watched his chases so far. Not much in it, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, I think an argument looks very well suited to Ascot. It's a race I'd be sticking in his calendar going forward as well. So yeah, there's no obvious reason why you'd expect a turnaround, but at the same time, there was nothing in it. You know, there's a length in it at the line. He's traded, 8-1 on in the run. And, you know, all you need is one little thing to happen differently to potentially change the result. That goes both ways, of course. You know, an argument's a really nice jumper of a fence, but he doesn't leave much room for error either. So, you know, there is the possibility that if he's just a little bit too tight to one at Cheltenham, he could make a mistake himself. But he was very economical. You know, he wasn't giving his fences air. Shishkin was a little bit unlucky with the mistake that he made, because I don't think he hit the fence. He just nodded badly on landing. As he did at Kempton, he's come off the bridle earlier, but he finds an awful lot, doesn't he? That's the really likable thing about Shishkin, much like Altior, that when you think they're in trouble, they can find extra in the finish. So he's going to be well suited by the hill as well at Cheltenham. I can see, you know, if you want to back him, you can. There's no reason to think that this is done and dusted based on one result. And of course, Shishkin started this. Look at very similar careers, you know, very very similar thus far. Shishkin just started that little bit earlier, so maybe, you know, the sort of 6 months of learning that an argument has on him might just pay off. And that this is the first time he's been in a proper race as well, whereas Shishkin's been in one before. So I think an argument potentially learns more from that. But yes,
yeah, so potential error already, though, that we don't know or nobody knows how Renner Germain will come out of a race like that. Shishkin has got down and dirty and recovered and gone and won. Renner Germain hasn't. So there's also the slight possibility that that leaves his mark on Renner Germain.
Yeah,
that's, and that would be a complete unknown until he turns up. But he did say he was quite tired after the race, and that also has to be factored in. And confidence for horses. Shishkin will have known he's won. Renner Germain will know he got beaten. And, you know, it's not just, they're not cars. You can't just turn them on, and they're not humans. You can't sit them down and explain to them that you did your best, you gave everything, you tried your hardest. And if you do X, Y, and Z, we can turn it around the next day. Horses are animals. And that would be my biggest concern for Renner Germain going to Cheltenham, that this race leaves a mark that he doesn't recover from until next season.
Do you see at this stage, Ruby, and I am, obviously, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge. It was, as I said, 3/4 of a length. But you'd be a great man for saying, if it didn't work the first time, probably not going to work if you do the same thing again. I mean, we're hardly at the stage where you need to change tactics on Renner Germain here or anything like that, do we?
No, but you still need to find the 3 parts of a length. There's no point in riding the very same race. What you do differently, I don't know. Where do you, or how do you improve on Renner Germain? To me, and even looking at the times and the fractions, like if Paul Townend had a stopwatch on him, he couldn't have got the fractions any better. You know, so I'm not sure where it is. And again, it's which horse recovers the best. You would imagine it'll be a fraction easier for Shishkin. That said, after putting in a wonderful performance in the Arkle, he wasn't as good at entry. Now, it's obviously a longer spell from the Clarence House to the Cheltenham Festival than it is from Cheltenham to entry. But it'll be who comes out of this race the better. Shishkin has shown in the past he can recover from them. We don't know that about Intercomedia.
He's a smart horse. He might tell you, because I saw a clip on the Sporting Life website where he actually ate the microphone that Willie Mullins was giving a stable tour on. Now, Willie Mullins is training his horses to not even allow Willie to talk about their races. That's impressive. Really, he's a very good trainer, that Willie Mullins. Right, lads, thanks for your thoughts on what was a brilliant Clarence. I'm really looking forward to the rematch, as is everyone in the Champion Chase. But we now need to talk about the Supreme Novice Hurdle. And Ruby Walsh, you are very much the place to start, the person to start. I have here in my script that this is a very lucky race for you. Yeah, lucky. Nothing to do with skill. Was there one year that you felt maybe that was one that got away and that you didn't actually manage? Probably the six times you won it, obviously. Was there one where you thought...
Adam with the brooch.
Yeah.
Fell going to beat Like a Butterfly, I would say.
And Like a Butterfly was Fav, wasn't she? She was so he was a decent price, Adam Approach. He, in terms of how he jumped it, was it a case of he was tired or it was just stepped at it?
Just stepped and crashed into the hurdle and turned over. He was a handicapper back in against novices. He'd won the old, I don't know who sponsored at the time, but the good handicap hurdle at Cheltenham. I think it was PwC maybe or someone was sponsoring it then. But look, that's definitely one that got away. Was I ever beaten really close in it? Altio kicked me in out of the way. Labique hammered Melon. I can't think of one that just got touched off now. But I do. Adam the Brooch would definitely be the one.
Rory, you know all the old race names. I just go with Schweppes. It seems to cover most of them, generally. I hear about these Schweppes races, both sides of the water.
I'm still surprised by some of the race names when I go back to, you know, races which have had sort of different sponsors every year. Some of them are, I've never heard of some of the companies who've sponsored good prices at Cheltenham. There's one, the Cleve Hurdle one year was sponsored by a firm I have never heard of before or since. Some of them come and go. When they're around for 5 or 6 years, you tend to remember them. The one-offs, not so much.
The Gold Cup's sponsored by Boodles now. So what happens to the Boodles? Does that go back to the Fred Winter?
It's a good question, Frank. We'll figure that out when we're doing our Cheltenham.
You often wonder, though, should the races be the Fred Winter in association with Boodles?
Yeah.
Should it be the Cheltenham Gold Cup in association with Boodles? Yeah. And therefore, the race never changes. Now, what do you call the old Hennessy? The Hennessy association with Ladbrokes? I'm not sure, but I'm sure that has a proper name as well.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? What is the actual title for the RSA? Because it's known as the RSA, and now it's the Brown Advisory.
But it's the Broadway Novices Chase, isn't it?
Broadway Novices Chase,
Is the Novice Hurdle the Gloucester Novices Hurdle?
I think it's the Gloucester Novice, yeah. Well done. Yeah, so yeah, they go back to those, yeah. Just Paddy Power sponsored them all. Okay, let's talk about this year's renewal. Let's start, Ruby, with Sir Gerhardt, because obviously going into from summer into winter, he was the one that we were all expecting to be the number one for Willie Mullins. He would become only the second horse to do the bumper Supreme double since Champagne Fever. It tells you how difficult it is to do that. Any reason why you think that is, Ruby?
No. Brian Hill ran in the Albert Bartlett. Missed that, ran in the Arkell. I'm trying to think. Joe Cullen, don't know what he did with her, which wasn't a great jumper. Alexander Bankley ran in the Ballymore. They're just the ones that I can think of off the top of my head. So, I'm sure maybe Rory or Frank might explain where some of the rest of them went. But
Pearl went RSA, didn't he?
He went RSA, yeah. So, I mean, how many of them try? Yeah. I think the question there, PK, is how many try?
Yeah.
More so than how many have done it. Look, Champagne Fever did it. Sir Gerhardt, very fast horse. I was impressed with him in that percent. Didn't like the way he hung left, maybe, after jumping the last hurdle. But Patrick said he did hang to his left at Punchestown. If anything, he hung right maybe with Rachel Blackmore in the closing stages of the Weatherby's Champion Bumper. We'll throw it in there. I think Champion it is. Bumper. It was at one stage anyway. I love the way he jumped. I did have the privilege of riding him working school in one morning, and he's a wonderful jumper. And yeah, I think he's a very good horse, and he's drifted. I'd say he's drifted because of Dysart Dynamo and people possibly thinking he could run in the Ballymore. That's made him sort of friendless in the Supreme, but the Dublin Racing Festival will tell a lot.
Yeah. I should get the prices just as we talk. 2-1 favorite Constitution Hill, 3-1 Dicer Dynamo, 4-1 John Bond, 8-1 Sir Gerhard. He's drifted out, as Ruby said, from fives. It's 14-1 Mighty Potter, 20-1 Walking on Air, and my mate Mozzie El Fabiolo, and 25-1. We'll cover most of those. Ruby, regarding Sir Gerhard, did William Mullins say at the start of the season he sees him as a potential stayer? Because you mentioned he was quite fast for us, or is that something that was not said that you know of?
He could have. I didn't hear him saying it. Okay. Gary O'Brien was asking him yesterday in Thurles why he ran Aloho after in the horse and jockey chase, having said possibly he could go straight from the John Durkin, and Willie was looking at him thinking, did I say that? look, maybe he said that about Sir Gerhard, but he looks a pretty quick horse to me, and to me showed an incredible turn of foot two thirds of the way down the hill in Cheltenham last year, going to the wings at the last hurdle. He just opened up and left him standing still. People thought the others, you know, led him away after getting a soft lead, but he opened up in a matter of strides and put decent horses to the sword, and then nearly ran out of steam. So, look, Willie knows his horses best. Maybe he is a stayer, but I've ridden him work, and I think he's not short of speed.
Interesting. What I'm hearing in the background in your tone here, that you're certainly not giving up on Sir Gerhard. We have to talk about Dicer Dynamo, though. I know Frank is itching too, but I'm going to go to you, Ruby, first. He obviously looks at 2 miler because of his style of running. I mean, it's fair to say that this is the only race he could run in, right?
Well, you'd say he's entered the Ballymore, isn't he?
I don't know. You tell me. It's a question I'm asking. Do you not think
because not closed yet now?
Yeah.
No.
Because he's so
tomorrow or Wednesday, isn't it? This week, isn't it? Yeah. Obviously, yeah. Novice Chasers were last week. So, yeah, no, he'd be entered.
But his style of running, that free-going nature, that kind of burn him off, is that not tailor-made for a Supreme? I could be wrong.
Yeah, it can be. It depends on what follows you and what the opposition is and what else is in the race. So, a pigeonhole in a style to a race because one or two horses may have done it in the past, but like there was plenty of pace in Alpha off Ann Nolan's Supreme Novice Hurdles. They're only the two I rode, and they came from the next parish. Sausalito Bay burnt them all off. Champagne Fever did. Vatour did. Duvan came from off the pace. Altior came from behind Main. Labie came from behind Mellon. There's more than one way of winning any race. You could argue Dicer Dynamo style of running would suit the Supreme, but I would also say Dicer Dynamo style of running will suit Constitution Hill, John Bond, and Sir Gerhard. So you're looking at something tactically, just don't assume, yeah, the front runner, he's the one that's all lump on him. He's a keen going horse. Is he any keener than York Hill? I wouldn't think so. And he ran into Ballymore, so it'll be interesting to see what Willie does.
Go on then, pecking order for Ruby Walsh, Sir Gerhard v. Dicer Dynamo.
I've never ridden Dicer Dynamo. He's achieved more on the track. He's ran twice, won twice, won at Cork, and backed it up with a blowaway performance in Punchestown last week. We've only seen Sir Gerhard once over hurdles, so to me, they're not comparing like with like just yet. Ask me after Sir Gerhard runs at the Dublin Racing Festival when they've each had two stats.
We're not doing the Novice Hurdles in that episode after the Dublin Racing Festival.
I didn't set up the running order. That's not my fault.
Okay, Rory, going to bring you in because we obviously saw John Bond at the weekend. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. What did you make of it?
I thought, ironically, he probably strengthened his claims. I wasn't massively not taken by him, but he had a bit to prove because of the nature of his early wins. All the races he'd been in had been slowly run, and he'd been able to dictate and then use a turn of foot to win them. And you got the impression he was very good. But if that's all you end up doing in a race, then you wonder whether a different race is going to show you in a different light. Whereas this time, they didn't go terribly fast early on again at Haydock, but they ended up with a fairly sustained gallop from before the straight. So for the first time, he's produced a good time figure, and it backs up the performance he produced. That's not as good on paper as his win in the Kennel Gate, but that's the nature of rating races. You automatically tend to rate grade two hurdles with a strong history higher than those with a slightly weaker history, if you like. And the Kennel Gate has always been, you know, quite a well-regarded race. And of course, he beat a very good horse in there in the shape of Colonel Mustard. But I thought he had to do things differently. He didn't get things his own way, and he got messed around during the race. And he looked at it like he was in trouble with a couple of jump. But he's pulled it out of the fire, and he's ended up winning by a decent margin in the end. So again, he threw up questions. It wasn't you know, he's been very well hyped up, as we all know, for good reason. You know, there's the price tag. There's the fact that he's a brother to Duvan. You know, there's an awful lot to live up to there. And so he's been, until this, he's been rather overhyped. Now people have seen him win ugly, and a lot of people are less keen to go with him now. Whereas actually, in my view, he's now done something that he hadn't done before, and I like him a bit more for it. You're getting a bigger price about him as well. So he's, you know, he's slowly winning me round, let's say.
That's interesting. Because, yeah, like you said, the consensus still seemed to be a bit meh. How do you think he'll be suited by the Supreme? Hustle, bustle, big crowd, all that sort of stuff?
Well, I made this very point at Ascot to a gnarled professional who said to me, "What hustle, bustle?" So the nature of the big novice hurdles at Cheltenham now means that the hustle, bustle you used to take for granted, you know, 20 runner fields, plenty of you know, handicappers or lightly raced horses who maybe, you know, who are going to be big outsiders and maybe shouldn't be there. There's an awful lot who can get in your way. But if you look at the fields that have actually been assembled now for the big novice hurdles in the last couple of seasons, particularly last year at Cheltenham, you know, the question is whether that's the way we're going, whether we're looking at smaller and more select fields. And if we are, then the whole argument about the hustle and bustle really becomes, you know, less valid. You know, if you're dealing with running a 20-24 runner race, then there's a lot to overcome there. Whereas if the Supreme is going to be an 8-runner race, it's just any other high-class novice hurdle, isn't it?
I think the hustle and bustle from Rory Doyle is going to be from...
It's pre-race, isn't it?
Yeah. Put the saddle on them. 65, 70,000 people in Cheltenham who haven't been there in 2 years are going to be as upbeat and anxious and nervous as the riders or trainers or owners may be. The crowd are going to be in the same boat this year. So the place is going to be like a rock concert before the Supreme. So for me, that's where the hustle and bustle is for Jambon. Getting them out of the parade ring, down the chute, the noise of the people hanging over the rail, and bookmakers canter up, canter back down. Maybe they'll still keep going directly to the start, but like it nearly cost Classical Dream the race. And I think if you're a fan of Jambon's, for me, I wouldn't be backing him till he was walking out onto the track below the start.
Yeah, he's got himself warm before his races, even without that kind of atmosphere. But what's been reasonably impressive about him is that when he's jumped off, he hasn't pulled. And that's the way his races have gone so far. The others have wanted to let him alone on the understanding that he's very high strung. If you leave him on his own, he's going to see daylight. He's going to go too fast. He's going to over race, and then you can beat him. And he hasn't done that so far. So that stands to him, it has to be said. But yeah, I take your point that we're going to see a different atmosphere at Cheltenham than we've seen at a racecourse for quite a while.
I would agree with you. I think even watching him at Newbury on his first start, when he broke from a walk into a canter to go to the start, he was a completely different horse. And when he got back into a walk at the start, he was quite agitated. But as Rory has said, once he's galloping, he's a different animal. He completely relaxes, which is a plus.
Sounds like that's not good. It is definitely something that a lot of people are talking about in various podcasts, that it might be the end of his, well, not the end, but it might be a hindrance. But it sounds like he does seem to switch, kind of like Shishkin did at Ascot on Saturday. If you're watching on ITV, he was very relaxed and calm in the parade ring. As soon as Nico got out into the course, he came alive. It was great. You could really see it. Frank, going to bring you in, and we're going to talk Constitution. We haven't mentioned the favourite yet. 2 for 2, easy winner of the Tolworth. What do we make of him?
He looks very good. Yeah, it's like there are really no negatives, bar he's won at Sandown twice, and just sometimes at Sandown you can get carried away with the times that don't really transfer elsewhere. I know, like Filler in the Roof, Finian's Oscar, a few of them I think had okay times and they didn't really do it when they went to Cheltenham. But look, from a visual perspective, he's been absolutely immense. He looks pretty straightforward as well, just ride him wherever you want and push the button. He looks very good. I think he's absolutely certain to run the Supreme. I don't think there's any chance of him switching. He's tailor-made for it. But the only thing I would say is Nicky Henderson's had some good horses turned over in the Supreme over the years. He's had like Spirit Sun, Sprinter Sacra, Bouverdair were all beaten. I know Bouverdair was behind Altior. But yeah, look, he deserves to be favoured at this moment in time at least. And yeah, he's got a massive chance.
He does. Because he finished second that point to point, and we assume that he can go further than 2 miles. We assume he's got a very good high cruising speed. Ruby obviously knows this as well. You do seem to need a horse go further than 2 miles to win a Supreme, don't you? I mean, it does seem to produce.
Yeah, just because he, you know, like obviously he would have won that point to point if he hadn't clattered the last. and the horse that horse that beat him is actually quite useful. He bolted up in handicap debut at Catterick a couple of weeks ago. I think he's one to keep an eye on for maybe a half decent handicap hurdle. But you see some horses, you know, they may run okay in point to points, but they're not 3 milers. Tommy's Oscar is a very good example where he was a point to pointer and they thought he'd be, you know, 2.5 miles plus, and he's just an out and out 2 miler. Doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that he is a 3 miler or even a 2.5 miler. I just think for the time being, the way he travels and the way he quickens, yeah, you'd have to run in the Supreme. I don't think you could run him anywhere else.
Okay. Right. We've covered most of the top of the market. Is there anyone, I'll open the floor to this one, anyone else out there, the likes of Mighty Potter, Mighty Mozzie, anything else that caught the eye before we go to selections? I'll open the floor.
At prices for me, I don't know where he's going to go, but I thought Three Stripe Life was a little unlucky at Christmas. Made a mistake at the second last hurdle, got caught in the pocket. I think he's a big price at 25-1. I mean, the lads will probably tell you better, but if you've got 3 or 4 fancy bun in a race, chances are 2 of them are going to blow out, and it leaves the door open for something else to nab the third. And I just think he's at a big price. Mighty Potter's a good stayer at a big price. Something is going to get amongst the big four, and it's figuring out which one it is, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was either or the Elliott horses.
Okay. Frank, is there anything, I know you're a massive Dicer Dino fan, so I'm going to get to him eventually for you, but is there anything out there at a big price?
Yeah, I just mentioned Mighty Potter. Look, I think the Royal Bond, they were in a bit of a heap turning in that day. He lost his position and stayed on really strong. I thought he was a little bit unlucky. Yeah, I take what Ruby said about Three Stripe Life being a bit unlucky in the future champions and novice hurdle, but I think Mighty Potter is going to be really suited to the Supreme. You provide you have a decent size field and a strong pace. I think he'll be finishing strongly. I think he'll be in the first 4 or 5 at least, but he wouldn't be surprised if he hit the frame. He might not be good enough. My mate Mozzie's another one we have to mention. He had looked very impressive before getting nabbed in the line with Statuaire and the Royal Bond. He's been given a break since. He does have an entry in the Champion Hurdle. You wouldn't be surprised if...
What's going to be a stronger race? The Champion Hurdle in terms of like death or in, Supreme?
Like, as in, you know, it might be better. Like, do you want to finish 4th in the Supreme or 2nd in the champ, 2nd or 3rd in the champ?
You get Honeysuckle and Appreciated, last year's runaway winner of the Supreme. So he makes the Cheltenham lines up to take on Honeysuckle. Now, you know Appreciated has bolted in the Supreme. You know how good Honeysuckle is. You're looking at the novice hurdle with horses who've had 2, maybe 3 runs. You're still guessing because all they're beating is novices. I can see the volume in the Supreme, but you don't know if any one of them will be good enough to get close to Appreciated. Or Honeysuckle, yeah.
Well, I'd imagine the reason he's put in there too is we haven't seen Appreciated yet, and until he actually comes back and runs, you know, is he definitely going to make Cheltenham? I suppose would be half the reason. But he's a horse you definitely couldn't put a line through. Yeah, I thought, he's shown plenty of ability. He's very good. A couple, maybe a little bit more left field, and would have an awful lot to find, but I wouldn't put a line through him completely here. Grand Jury, I thought, ran really well in the Lawler's and Ace. The way he went through it, you wouldn't be shocked if he came back to 2 miles. At the time, De Bramman's horses weren't running very well at all, but he did run really well, and he'd won nicely in his hurdles debut when he beat the useful Manila Cocooner. In his point as well. So his form is okay. And the other one then, UK one, probably not good enough, but JPR one, he's going to run the Betfair Hurdle, I think. He won a really useful race in his debut at Exeter, beating subsequent winners Ian Maximus, Triple Trade, Judicial Law and Rock of Star. Looks a really useful race now. I thought he was a little unlucky not to win at Cheltenham, but Tizard's horse weren't flying at that particular time. They're back going really well at the moment. Easily won a Taunton under a penalty, and he's the decent chance in the Betfair Hurdle off a mark of 130, albeit his mark is very low. Like, even if he won a press, he'd probably be up to the low 140s, and he'd need to find at least another £10. But he's one you wouldn't put a line through completely. He'd be probably a big enough price, but he's probably more of interest in the Betfair Hurdle, to be honest.
We'll keep an eye on him. The thing I'm taking most interest out of is the difference between that point-to-point in terms of fortunes. Constitution Hill finishing 2nd, favourite Supreme. The winner wins on handicap debut at Catterick. I know you said he's probably still well-handicapped, but they've got very different routes.
Go back and watch that. Like, you know, it wasn't the strongest race at Catterick, but my God.
Was he rated about 110, wasn't he?
Very low. He got, yeah. I can't remember. I checked it last night, but I might forget.
What's his name? I'm not sure if it was mentioned.
Any Harm in Asking, is it?
Yeah, that's okay. The one, yeah.
Nice one. We'll keep an eye out for Any Harm in Asking, the horse who beat the mighty Constitution Hill in a point-to-point. Right, Rory, before I get your pick at this stage. Anything at that has been mentioned at a bigger price?
Yeah, he's not. I don't see him in the in mini betting lists for the race, but just a horse who's potentially going to outrun his odds wherever he goes is Colonel Mustard. Again, he's beaten by John Bond at Ascot, but he was placed in Grade Ones last season. He's a second season hurdler. His jumping is a problem. He's just scrappy with his jumping, but he will learn with time. He needs experience, and he also needs a really well-run race. He travels like the wrath of God in his races, but he wants it set up. He wants to, if he can get his hurdling technique a little bit slicker, then he's more than capable of hitting the frame, in pretty much any graded hurdle you fancy if he gets it run to suit. You don't necessarily see him winning it, but the fact that he's got that experience from last year will stand him in good stead. And I think wherever Lorna Fowler decides to go with him, he'll run well.
Yeah, he's 33-1. Travels like the wrath of God.
I was
definitely new one to me.
Me too. What do you understand the wrath of God to be, Ron?
I probably picked that up from John Oaksey 30 odd years ago or something like that. But yeah, it's I thought it was common parlance.
I would look at a horse and think, God, it looks like the wrath of God, which means you're in terrible trouble. So that was my understanding of it, but maybe I stand to be corrected. Maybe we're all getting education here, PK.
Oh, we definitely are. That's that one's stuck. That one is definitely travels like the wrath of God. Love it. Okay, lads.
Who has Google? Get Google out quick.
Producer Mark, he'll Google it. Okay, selections at this stage. I appreciate, obviously, there's a lot to happen between now, but that's the Antipost Pod. Ruby Walsh, give us your pick for the Supreme Novice Hurdle.
I think just purely at prices, and it might be a null and void bet in 2 weeks' time, but I would say Sir Gerhard has drifted for no reason, and I think 8-1 is too big a price for him.
Well, that's Antipost Punting, Obviously, you're taking the plunge, hoping that it goes well between now and the race, and yeah, that happens. They can be null and void, but they can get a very big price, and if he does win easily the Dublin Racing Festival, 8-1 could look massive. Frank Hickey, I think I know what you're going to pick.
It depends on what runs. If Dice of Dynamo runs here, I'd be very impressed with him, or very keen on him. The one thing I would say is, Sir Gerhard goes to Leopardstown for the Dublin Race Festival and wins impressively. He's almost certainly going to run the Supreme. Are they going to run the both of them? I doubt it. I think if you're, I have a few Bob and Dice or Dynamo for the Supreme, I might get done. So what I think I might do is do a little related double and go down and back Sir Gerhard for the Supreme with Dice or Dynamo for the Ballymore just to cover myself. And I think whichever one of those wins, like for Dice or Dynamo to run here, maybe Sir Gerhard will have to maybe underperform at Leopardstown, but if Sir Gerhard's impressive, there's a good chance Sir Dice of Dynamo will go to the Ballymore. So whichever one of them runs,
A question. I know it's hypothetical, and you're right, they're probably both, but if they both run, which one would you be on in the Supreme?
I think Dice of Dynamo is a two. Yeah, like for me, I don't know, he reminds me of Fahin, but yeah, maybe I'm wrong.
Some praise. All right, Rory.
Not much of an angle Antipost at the moment, but this is just a case of who you really like there, and I've been massively impressed by Constitution Hill. I know this is a hot looking contest. I'd be really surprised if he doesn't run here. It would take JP to buy him and give Michael Buckley a massive backhander, and then move him up to the Ballymore for him not to run here. I think he looks a two miler through and through. He's been really impressive. He doesn't do anything to you. Looking at him in the paddock, doesn't stand out at all. He's like a lamb, but he does what he's asked to do on the race course, and he's massively impressed me on those two wins.
Okay. Sir Gerhard, Dice Dynamo, Constitution Hill, all covered essentially at the top of the market. We move on to the Ballymore. Quick question from one of our listeners. Peter Smith asks, Ruby, a few of your Supreme wins came with making the pace. Champagne Fever, Voltour, Classical Dream. Was that the plan beforehand? And is it an advantage in this race to be at the forefront and staying out of trouble?
Yeah, three of them did. Duban sat behind the pace, and Nolan and Alfroff came from well off the pace, PK. It depends on the makeup of the race. Classical Dream was to the forefront of a steadily run contest. Champagne Fever was a flat-out two-miler by Stowaway. And what was the third one?
Vautour. Classical Dream? Oh, Vautour. You've already done that.
Vautour was just the best horse, no matter what way you're on. He didn't fall off, he was going to win.
How much when I'm watching you on ITV or Racing TV, and you just see the horses and the jockeys walk around before the start, you're always someone who points out that jockey's going to be on the pace. And you can tell, I know it's probably on the inner of the circles, but can you, when you were riding, could you tell just the way that you were circling at the post going, I know Davey wants to make this, or I know that Jack Kennedy wants to make this. Is it that early that you can tell?
But you should have an idea before you get to the start, PK. If you looked at the form, you should have an idea as to what a horse is going to do. Now, everyone can change tactics and you have to be open to that, but you should know the opposition, what way a horse runs best, what way it's ridden best. Obviously, the lower down in handicaps, you get 80 to 102s, etc. You never know what's going to happen. But when you get to the top level, you wouldn't be expecting any surprises when you get to the start. I mean, like, you could have written the script for the Clarence House last Saturday on Tuesday. I mean, you knew what was going to happen. And hey, that's because there's two runners that made it very simple. But most races tend to be that way. You should be able to know. What annoys me is someone walking around on the inside in front that has no intention of being on the pace. They're just in the bloody way. And that used to annoy me, and I would push them out of the way. Like, to me, if you're lining up in front down the inside, make the runner. I hate people lining up there and dropping back, getting in the way.
Okay. Wouldn't mind being in the way room after that happened. Right. Ballymore Novice Hurdle next. Quick break.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Very important message indeed. Okay, we're back and we're going to talk all things Ballymore Novice Hurdle. Before we do, Ruby, during the break, you've been researching what the Wrath of God actually means.
Couple of different meanings, but I think if you're suffering the wrath of God, you're in trouble with His Holiness.
Oh, which translates, Rory, as a horse who travels well.
I say traveling well would definitely come
travel well with the devil.
It'd have to be very well, in fairness.
All right, okay, yeah, we're not going to forget that.
You wouldn't want it bearing down on you. That's the point, isn't it? Really?
Yes, you wouldn't want it bearing down on you. Exactly.
Right. I don't know where this podcast has gone. Ballymore Novice Hurdle is where we're going to go. And I'm going to come to you, Frank, first, because you kept relatively quiet for the Supreme Novice Hurdle. And again, there's a bit of guesswork. Where's John Bond going to go? Dice of Dynamo, all these things. We assume John Bond and Constitution are going to the Supreme. So we haven't mentioned Gordon Elliott a huge amount. Jinto, what do you make of his win in the Lawlers? Usually a good point to this race.
Yeah, he was quite impressive. Now, if you're being ultra critical, you might kind of say, What You Want didn't run his race. Hollow Games probably wants more of a trip. Grand Jury ran really well, but with Henry de Bromhead being out of form at the time, is he capable of better? You know, if you're really nitpicking, but he has been very impressive. Like, his only defeat in the race course was when he was second in a bumper to What You Want. He's won a point, a bumper, a maiden hurdle, a grade two and a grade one. You'd be almost certain he's going to run here, I would think. I know he's favoured for the Albert Bartlett as well, but I think, yeah, he wasn't short of pace at Naas, was he? Yeah, he's very solid. Do I think he's a superstar? I don't think so, but yeah, he's a good horse.
I should give context to this chat and give you prices. Sir Gerhard, 7-2 favourite, 6-1 Dicer Dynamo, 7-1 Stage Star, 7-1 Jinto, as Frank said, probably going to go for this race. Journey With Me and Constitution Hill, both 8-1. Obviously, doubts regarding Constitution Hill running here. 10-1 Walking on Air, 14's Mighty Potter, Hillcrest, and 16-1 for the likes of John Bond, Manila Crooner as well, but they potentially going elsewhere, which is obviously going to be factored into this conversation. Rory, we haven't mentioned Paul Nicholls a huge amount, and I've actually noticed in some of his post-race interviews with some of his stars, he has been throwing out the old, well, we might not go to Cheltenham, a fair bit. I don't know if he's scarred, essentially, for the last few years. Does it sound like that to you?
He's been talking this way for quite a while, actually. If you turn up at his pre-festival open day, he's very keen, particularly with the novices, not to get them a real beating at Cheltenham if he thinks that's going to harm their long-term potential. And essentially, this is if he has something he thinks is absolutely top class, he's more than happy to go to Cheltenham. If he's got a horse who, you know, might be a little bit shy of the very best, but in a year's time, you know, could be a contender, then I think he'd rather miss Cheltenham just to look after them. Entry tends to be that little bit weaker, as we saw last season. He had, I think, two of the first three winners at Entry. Alex Ferguson had a share in all of them as well, didn't he? So he'd never been 3-0 up at Merseyside at halftime before. So he's inclined to do that. But Where he does commit himself to Cheltenham, you should sit up and take notice, because you know he isn't running for the sake of it. He's well aware that it's not the be all and end all. So with the horses he does think are worth going to Cheltenham, then you can at least take it that they're held in the right regard for the meeting.
Poor old Stage Star won the Challo for Paul Nichols. So straight away, it's like, well, do you know who won that for Paul Nichols? It was Denman won that for Paul Nichols.
And Braveman's Game.
And Braveman's Game. It's what a route. So he's got some pretty big hoof prints to follow. What have you made of him so far?
I like him. He's been brought along exactly the same way as Braveman's Game, actually. He won a maiden hurdle at Chepstow in October, as the Braveman's Game was actually beaten by Soaring Glory. And a maiden hurdle at Chepstow, and then he went to the same Newbury race that Braveman's Game won before taking the Challo. So he's treading a very familiar path here. He's very likable. He's very professional. The Challo didn't look, it looked a good grade two. It didn't. I mean, that's the problem with the Challo, is it comes at the stage of the season when there isn't really a grade one. You just have one race with grade one status. And Stage Star was pretty good in that. You can knock the form to some degree, but again, he was very professional. He was at least as good as Braveman's Game last year, I thought. I think we kind of overreacted a bit to Braveman's Game's win because of comments made by Paul Nichols after that about Denman. He's not making the same comments about Stage Star, because I think he's kind of, he's learned a lesson that, like you mentioned it once, people won't let it go. And they won't talk about the horse, they'll keep talking about Denman. But yeah, he's got a really nice pedigree as well. It's by Fame and Glory out of a mare called Sparky May, who was she was trained by Pat Rodford, and she was a real surprise package. She finished second to Kavega in the mare's hurdle as a novice, and then she was placed at Aintree, and she then only had two more runs after that before going off to broodmare duties. But yeah, she was a really likable mare, Sparky May. Really tough. 2.5 miles was probably her ideal trip as well. But she never knew when she was beaten. Obviously, she couldn't live with Kavega, but that was a really good performance to finish second to her as a raw novice from a yard like that as well. So I like her potentially as a broodmare as well. And if she passes on that toughness to Stage Star, we haven't had to see it yet. We've seen that he's classy. We've seen that he's a very slick jumper. But if he's got his dam's attitude as well, then he'll go a hell of a long way.
Interesting. We'll see how Stage Star goes. Yeah, a bit of strong hoof prints to follow. Ruby, Frank's already mentioned what we want. We've already talked about Sir Gerhard. We've already talked about, obviously, Dicer Dynamo. So one of the William Mullins horses who you would like to think is a definite for this race, given who owns it, right?
Yeah, making that comparison, PK, you would say, yeah, having watched him, the way he stays and the way he races, you could very easily argue he owns a bit further. You hope he underperformed at Nace because he never showed up. He did, but he ran disappointing. Got going late to win his maiden hurdle in Navan. Look, it is a wide open contest. I thought Journey with Me was very good at Leopardstown, beating Minute Crooner and Kilcrut. And obviously, Minute of Crooner has franked that form with a fast side victory at Punchestown in the maiden hurdle. So he took my eye. Stage Star, I just don't know, lads. Maybe you have the stats, but the Challo winners just have a poor record at Cheltenham, from my recollection, anyway.
Yeah, there hasn't been a winner of the Ballymore to come out of the Challo, which is an odd one because they're the 2 2-mile-5 Grade One hurdles for novices in the UK, and there's never been a horse win both of them.
Different ground, different tracks, different stages.
It's often different ground, but it hasn't been the last couple of years. But yes, I think that the Challo just gets, as I said, it gets a little bit overrated because of where it falls in the season. It doesn't necessarily have tremendous depth to it. But again, this is all about where do you get your horses right. You get them right for March. You don't necessarily want to be shown exactly how good they are in December. And a lot of Challo winners were peaking in December. And then even if they run at the same level in March, they weren't able to beat horses who were primed to show their best form later in the season. But whether that's the case with this one, I don't know.
I wonder, Rory, if you took a furlong or two off the Challo, might that make it an easier race to win and go on from?
Yes, possible. It's a proper test on the ground that you tend to get at Newbury in December. Although, as I said, the last couple of years it's been not too bad. It's been sort of good to soft ground, whereas historically it's often been heavy there, and it's been a real war of attrition.
Frank Hickey, come back to us. Have we missed anything? Is there a horse that we should be talking about? You know, why haven't you mentioned this one, PK?
I'll just go back to what you want. I know he definitely underperformed at Naas, but like, do you want to put him into the Ballymore off? Like, he might have to run again, maybe, but like off the back of being beaten in Grade One, when he's going to get a handicap mark, which would leave him eligible for the Martin Pipe, and then that's on the new track, which is stiffer, which would suit him. I don't know. I think he's more.
Can he go off two runs, Frank, or does he need a third?
He probably need a third, won't he? But yeah, probably get a nice, handy little race with a penalty rather than, you know, go up to a
Ballymore. You need to have a third run before the weights are announced. Right. You can't just get a penalty.
He could run under a penalty. I mean, like, as in to win a novice to get his mark, is what I was saying.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
But like, they're not out for another while anyway, so they have a bit of time. But there's a number of horses I'm going to mention that are interesting. I think the first is Hillcrest. He got 190 grand as a store. His Dam Shop DJ was a Grade 3 win over hurdles. She was Grade 1 placed over fences, albeit maybe a small bit lucky, and well behind, I think, was Sir Deschamps. He's by Stowaway, Sawyer Monkfish, Champagne Fever, Put the Kettle on, Outlander, plenty of Cheltenham winners. He's absolutely a huge horse. He's probably a staying chaser in the making. So the fact he was able to win a bumper was quite impressive. He was only beaten a nose in his bumper debut at Doncaster when he was beaten by a Wise Guy. He's won at Aintree this season, Wetherby and Cheltenham. At Cheltenham, I thought he was very impressive. He didn't get much more than a bit of pushing out hands and heels. I don't think he got a tap of the whip. Beat Ian Maximus relatively easily. And he really could be anything. He's a very interesting horse. I'll just quickly go through a couple of others. You've Harbour Lake for Alan King. I don't know would he end up in Cheltenham, but he's one to keep an eye on. His Dam's half sister Fine Rightly in relation to another run. He's bred to be a stayer, but he's bolted up in two runs over 2 miles at Wetherby. He beat a horse called Stream of Stars. It's one of the next two starts to Fort Knickerbocker Glory, won 2 starts later. And the 6th first angel was Narnie Beetle in both the next starts. He followed up under a penalty to win by 11 lengths. He's sure to improve for Steppy Up and Trip, but he might be a bit of a longer term project. O'Toole bolted up in a bumper at Fairy House last February, beating a number of useful horses that, you know, if you're putting a rating on them now over hurdles, they're probably all in the 120s, like Provacorate, Gracchus the Bomb, and Part-Time Farmer. He was second to Kilcrutt in the champion bumper at Punchtown. He was only beaten about 5 lengths. Sir Gare was back in third, probably didn't run his race, but Eric Bloodaxe was fourth. He had a hurdle debut down Royal over an extended 2 miles and won very easily. It was a weak race, but he's got an engine. Then you've got Wonderwall for Richard Spencer. He thinks the world of him. I saw an interview with him after he won at Doncaster, and he was saying he thought he was a future Gold Cup horse. Well back to when he won his bumper at Ascot, was only beaten less than 3 lengths in a listed bumper next time behind Nappers Hill and Stage Star. Thought he ran a respectable race in the champion bumper when he was 7th, weakening up the hill. Again, I think he's a big enough horse. Hurdles debut at Newbury, travelled like the best horse in the race, made a bad mistake at the last and got beaten. I think he was the best horse in the race. I thought he did it really nicely when turning over an odds-on shot of Nicky Henderson's when winning at Doncaster. He's one that's interesting. I have 3 more to go on.
Okay, right. I'm going to digest something first, Frank, on that. I wanted to ask Ruby, you mentioned Hillcrest. He's a horse I'm quite interested in. Ruby, this horse, Henry Daly, can't even measure because his measuring stick only goes to 18 hands. How big is the one on Willie Mullins? He can't even measure him. He's bigger than that.
We have a bigger stick.
But that is big to the unlearned.
Absolutely huge.
Yeah, so he's huge. Over 18.
I'd say he won't stop standing on the hill now. Put him on a level. I'd say, Henry, just put him on a level patch.
But like, is that a hindrance though? I mean, like an enormous horse. Like,
No. Providing he can use his feet. Like, his feet work as quick as his brain is working. No. Size actually should be a help in that it will help him to carry weight, disperse it around his body, and might find it easier than a smaller horse to lug 11, 12 or 12 stone or whatever. That's the theory behind a big horse. Providing his feet move as quick as his brain is thinking, it's definitely not a hindrance.
I'm looking forward to seeing him. I won't be at Cheltenham. Well, maybe I will. Who knows? Can we do this live from Cheltenham, producer Mark? Yeah? Okay, cool. Tickets booked. Right, Frank, you've got 3 more. Do they include your actual fancy for the race?
I might have said it already, but I'll go through them very quickly. I won't be long, I promise. Walking there, very impressive last week at Newbury by Walk of the Park out of Refinement, who was a lovely mare. He was second in a bumper to Shall We Have One More. Kempton, well backed. Shall We Have One More is a very useful horse. I think the ground in the Talbot would have been completely against him. But Walking there, very taken by the way he won at Newbury last week. Nicky came out straight away and said he's a Ballymore type. I'd imagine he'd go to Huntington for his next start is the Sydney Banks. He'll probably run there. If he wins there, he'll end up in the Ballymore. He's a very nice horse. You mentioned Staghorn, rated 103 on the flat, relative test of stamina and testing ground. He's 2/2 over hurdles. He beat a subsequent winner on debut at Hereford. Didn't jump great that day, but I thought he was a lot better winning the Grade 2 Leamington Novice Hurdle at Warwick. Thought he jumped really well. Went hard enough in front and he stuck it out nicely. Look, it probably wasn't the strongest renewal of the race, but you know, it's been a decent pointer to the future. The likes of Willoughby Court, Deputy Dan, Thomas Hobson, the new one, have won it in recent years. You couldn't completely discount it, particularly if the ground came up testing, and he does really relish it. And the last one is completely from left field, but it's a horse called Nickelback. We haven't seen it in a while, but it's trained by Sarah Humphrey. He might have given my mate Mozzie a race in a point to point when he tipped up two out. Ran a Southern Novices Hurdle and Rules debut over 2.5 miles. And while he was getting £12 off Cadza, and he gave him a right fright that day, he had him off it coming into the straight and only gave way after the last. That horse was rated 138 going into the race, and he travelled much better than him. And he was a 66-1 shot on the day. Went to Fontwell then in the second start, was a bit free, but won by 30 lengths. Look, again, it wasn't the strongest race, but it was the manner in which he won. Like the horse he beat are all rated in around 105, 110, but he absolutely made mince meat of him. Like, it was raining that day, so the ground did deteriorate as racing went on, but he was 16 seconds faster than the handicap hurdle won by Mr. One More, was winning off 127. Now look, it's not an accurate comparison because the ground was deteriorating as the day went on, but again, there's a bit of substance to it. We haven't seen him since. I don't know what the story is with him, but he's one that's got a load of ability, and yeah, he'd be interesting to see where he ends up.
Take a breath, Mike. That is serious research. Nickelback and Wonderwall both mentioned. Are you an Oasis or Blur man, Rory?
I pass. What? I didn't get involved in that battle, I have to say.
What? No. Everyone has a favourite.
No, not necessarily.
Or a preference. Okay. Right. Well, on that bombshell, give us the winner of the Ballymore.
I know we're going to talk about him with the Albert Bartlett as well. I like Journey With Me a lot. He's been campaigned as if he's as good as there is in the yard. You know, he ran in the same bumper as last year's Ballymore winner, and his hurdles debut at Leopardstown came in a race that Tenry de Bromhead has won multiple times in the last decade. He's really impressed me what he's done so far. He hasn't met any superstars, but the way he's done it has been very likable. He clearly needs another run to sort of establish himself as a Cheltenham horse, but the way he's been campaigned suggests that there's no doubt in Henry's mind. And I can see him shortening up markedly after he runs next. The question is whether he runs here, whether he runs in the Albert Bartlett. I would favour this. You know, if you think he's got, it hasn't looked slow to me. You know, the ground was pretty bad when he won his bumper, but he absolutely tore them to pieces that day. And the ground, it was good to soft at Leopardstown, so he shouldn't have an issue. He doesn't look like he wants. He doesn't look a plodder at all. So I don't see why he needs to go 3 miles. And I'd be happy to throw him in here. So he's a fair price.
It's Bob Ollinger against Brave Man's Game all over again, isn't it? It's
it is
like
a little,
the exact
yeah.
same
yeah.
connections. It's going to the same races. Ruby, what wins the Ballymore?
I'd agree with Rory. I think Journey With Me is definitely a runner. And what price is Walking On Air, PK?
He was a double figure price at 10-1.
10-1. I think he's value too, because he's definitely going to go here.
Okay, very nice. Journey With Me and Walking On Air, Frank Hickey.
Well, you know, the same, if Dice of Dynamo ends up here, I think he'll take an awful lot of beating. But provided if he doesn't end up here, I think Hillcrest is very good. I think he'll be banged there. I assume he'll run here as well.
What's that coming over the hill? Is it a Hillcrest?
Is it a Hillcrest?
He might be a future chaser. He's definitely a future police horse. There's no yeah. doubt about that.
Yeah, look, he's proved he handles Cheltenham fine anyway, so it's always a positive for a big horse to go and travel around there the way he did. So
Or he could be pulling that Budweiser cart and that Christmas ad as well, those Clydesdales. You know, you never know. He's that big. Hillcrest. Right, we have rattled through with some detail the two first novice hurdles. So let's go for the Albert Barta. Beforehand, Paul Murphy, one quick question. Lads, if you're looking for future Gold Cup winner, is there an argument, there's always an argument, Paul, is there an argument that of the three main novice hurdles, the Supreme is perhaps the best race to run in? I give you Best Mate, Kicking King, War of Attrition, and Sizing John. They all ran in the race before striking gold. I'm going to put that to Rory.
Yeah, I mean, it's an argument I used to trot out quite a lot, that often the Supreme in a big field ended up being an end-to-end gallop, and it suited those sort of future chasers. The odd thing about it, I don't think it's necessarily the best breeding ground for future Gold Cup horse, but the bottom line was, for 50 years, it never produced a champion hurdle winner. And yet it produced multiple Gold Cup winners, as in the following year, whereas down the line it was throwing up Gold Cup winners. And that was the kind of thing you had to point out. But it was very unusual that you could get champion hurdle winners coming out of the Ballymore, no champion hurdle winners coming out of the Supreme. And of course, it's all about what kind of races trainers want to run their horses in. I think we got to the stage now where the Albert Barta is properly bedded in and trainers are a lot happy running Gold Cup horses in the 3 mile contest rather than... And again, it depends on your attitude and what kind of horse you're happy to run there, and whether you think it's going to benefit their development long term. But yeah, it's always, I wouldn't be adamant that it is always going to work, but it's always worth looking at what has happened historically in these races to get an idea of what horse you might be looking for. I think the tide might be turning on that, but the historical stats are in there and they're worth paying attention to.
I think I agree with you. I think the Albert Bartlett now is definitely better than you look at Manel Indo and the likes. Ruby, the Albert Bartlett, let's talk about Willie's record in the race, which actually has improved. He's won two in the last five.
Since I retired.
How many times did you... Well, so I assume you never won the race. You never won it? What was your closest finish?
That was my closest finish. Oh, the Big Horse of Paws that got beaten by Weapon at Weapons Annecy.
Did you not ride Boston Bob as well?
He should have won. He was second to Brindisi Breeze. He should have won. But the other horse that went close was Pride at Dolcott, was it?
Oh yeah. Angela Yeomans
got beat a half a length or a neck by Weapons Amnesty.
Well, thinking back to those years and thinking back to the current or recent winners, could there be, originally it was definitely said that you need a very experienced horse who's had lots of runs over hurdles. Manel Indo, only two runs over hurdles. Monkfish, only three runs over hurdles. Vanillier, four. Is it now a case that you don't actually have to be that super experienced anymore, Ruby?
Yeah, it's heading back that way. The other side of that coin, PK, is that Monkfish went on to win the RSA and Manel Indo's gone on to win a Gold Cup. So they're pretty good horses. Very good horses, actually. So when you look at their profile, they probably booked the trend because of their natural ability more so than the trend is gone. So it'll be interesting this year. To me, Gordon seems to hold the key here. Jinto, Hollingame, Hollow Games, Jerry Kalam. You know, Jerry Kalam was workmanlike in Thurles yesterday, but he got the job done. But it's Jinto and Hollow Games. And it's which ones Gordon is going to run and where they're going to go, I think, is key to this.
I'll give the prices. Thanks, Ruby, for reminding me. 4-1 Jinto, 5-1 Journey With Me, as mentioned already for the Ballymore, 6-1 Hollow Games, 10-1 Jerry Kalam, we saw on Sunday, 10-1 Manella Crooner, 12 Stage Star, who one assumes going to Ballymore, Eric Bloodaxe is 12, 16-1 Manella Cocooner. Lads, a Manella Crooner and a Manella Cocooner in the same race, potentially. That's a nightmare. Hillcrest 16s as a Staghorn and 20s Bar. Okay, yeah, again, same situation here where a lot of these horses could be running in the Ballymore. But Frank, Ruby just mentioned Gordon Elliott holds the key. Is that fair?
Yeah, Manella Cocooner and Manella Crooner. You can see a few people going Manila and the writing getting really scribbly on
the
docket.
They don't do that in betting shops, Frank Hickey. There is no skullduggery. Thank you very much. Betting shops have only the finest of the finest. Thank you very much.
Yeah, look, he's not won it, but I did do a bit of research. Like he's gone close enough a few times. Like he's had the third beating a neck at 5-1, the second at 4-1, beating two lengths, the second at 33-1, beating a 1.25 lengths, the third at 6-1, beating 1.5 lengths. So look, yeah, he hasn't won it, but he's gone close a number of times and he knows what it takes. one thing I would say about the race is, just looking back over like the recent times, the last 10 years, the winner of the Albert Barton has generally run over 2.7 miles at least, and either won or run really well. The one who didn't was Very Wood, who'd been beaten over 2.5 miles in a grade one and a grade two. That's the only time in the last 10 years a horse that hadn't run over that sort of 2.7 miles or further had won the Albert Bartlett. So you're kind of looking at horses that have proven stamina. And I think, going back to what you were talking about with the, you know, the Supreme and the Albert Bartlett for the Gold Cup and how that might be changing a little bit, I think it ties in with why, you know, horses are, you know, with less experience are winning, because they're putting better horses into the Albert Bartlett, where maybe before they were keeping, you know, the good horses maybe to shorter trips and stepping them up as they get, you know, as they progress. Now maybe their trainers are a little bit more happy to fire them into the Albert Bartlett, and that's why you're getting, you know, Manila Indo, Monkfish, Vanillier, you know, with let three runs or less winning, and maybe horses with, you know, an awful lot of experience not winning, because it's just a better class of horse running in the race. Just my opinion, but I think that might be the reason why it's going there. Gordon's got a very strong hand, as Ruby's already said. I think Ginto will go to the Ballymore. I think Hollow Games will go here. He looks sure to improve for 3 miles, but you wouldn't mind seeing him, you know, run over at least 2.6 at the Dublin Racing Festival, if not further.
Well, 2.6 made an hurdle, didn't he?
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
He did, yeah.
He looks like he's going to really appreciate it, and he's a nice horse. Look, if you're listening on Friday, I was saying I got involved with Jerry Klam a while back for this race. And look, he was workmanlike yesterday, but at the same time, I think he would have learned an awful lot more than if he just travelled around on the bridle and won with nothing. Like, the track would have been against him, the ground would have been against him, everything was against him, and it would have been very easy for him to kind of chuck it in and get beat, and he didn't. Like, you put him, you know, if he gets a tiny bit of softer ground at Cheltenham, and a stiff track like the new horse is, I think it's tailor made for him. And I think he's a future Gold Cup horse. I think he's a really, really good horse. And the race he won at Thurles has been a decent enough pointer as well. Tory Graff won it last year. He was a, you know, well backed in the Albert Barrett, albeit disappointed. You've Monkfish, Dortmund Park, and the Storyteller have won it as well in recent years. So, you know, it's a nice little race, a good pointer, and he's a very good horse. He's the one I'd be.
You haven't abandoned.
I am involved in him with a while, and I wouldn't, like, you know, we were doing the anti-post prices yesterday, and you couldn't give him a big chop on the back of that because it wasn't visually impressive, but at the same time, it didn't, like, diminish my opinion of him or what he's capable of achieving.
Mm-hmm. Rory, I know you quite like Journey With Me for the Ballymore, so, like, what are your thoughts on this race? It's a strong Irish challenge again. We're thin on the ground with British.
Yeah, it looks, the ones are short. Stikehorn's quite short for this, but I don't see them stepping up. I know he's got form over 2.5 miles in the flat, but historically, if you look at all those the horses who've run well in the Ascot Stakes, for example, or the Queen Alexandra, and look at their best trip over hurdles, they don't have to stay any further over hurdles than they do on the flat. And I don't see Stikehorn, because he's a flat-bred horse, wanting a real test of stamina like the Albert Bartlett tends to be. So I think he's much more likely to go Ballymore. And that's probably true with Hillcrest, who's been mentioned as well. I take the view that Ginto will be better suited by 3 miles than 2.5. I thought that when he won last time out. Obviously, that's very good form. And it seems to put him firmly in the mix for the shorter race. But I thought he would improve for 3 miles the way he galloped through that race. I thought he looked a real stayer. You wouldn't absolutely swear to it from his pedigree, but he struck me as a stayer there. I'm not sure they'll want to go for the Albert Bartlett with him. And, you know, Frank's made a case there for Hollow Games. But I would be, if I was getting non-runner no bet, I'd be keen to bite Ginto and take the chance that he ends up there, because he could just be a class apart if he does go for the 3 miler.
I think, yeah, with the owners, you think one is going to go one and one is going to go the other,
yeah, exactly.
Isn't it, essentially? So if you had the inside angle, there's a back of stud. Ruby, there's one Willie Mullins, I'm going to get your selection as well, but there's one Willie Mullins horse before, which could be your selection, towards top of the 16-1, Manella Cocooner. Is this a likely target?
Yeah, he won a 2.5 mile maiden hurdle at Navan, and he got beaten on his first start in Cork. He obviously improved for that run, but you'll probably see him at the Dublin Racing Festival and judge him then, PK. He has to step forward. I think I know he won his maiden hurdle a long way, but it looked like a two horse race, to tell you the truth. So it'll be interesting to see. I thought Manila Crooner, that was chased home Journey With Me at Leopardstown and won at Punchestown since. I thought he was an interesting one for Gordon as well. It'll be interesting what to do with the backs of stud horses. I agree with Rory. Whilst Hollow Games looks like he wants it, I thought Jack Kennedy's comments when he got off Ginto at Nace seemed to suggest he thought he should be going up in trip as well.
Well, you should listen to Jack Kennedy. Knows what he's doing. Frank Hickey then, go on. Well, you've kind of sort of told us already, but repeat that you fancy Jerry Cologne for the Isle of Ireland.
Yeah, I'm speaking out of my pocket, but nothing's happened to turn me off him. I think he's got a big chance. And it was, you know, my one concern yesterday when the race finished was, did he get a mark, you know, in around the high 130s and be eligible for the Martin Pipe? But Gordon came out and said he'd go straight to the Alba Barrett, which is a bit of a relief. But yeah, Jerry Clam, nothing's happened to turn me off him.
What's wrong with you, Ruby? He's an exasperating face.
So Frank could run every novice in a handicap, isn't he? That should be running a handicap.
But if you look, you just be small but concerned when they're eligible. If their mark is low enough to run it, that they might go, oh, we'll run a graded horse in a handicap and try and win. But you know, you're just, that would be your concern when you've backed them.
Handicaps they can be as hard won as some of the graded races.
Oh yeah, I know. Like as in, yeah, just yeah, happy definitely. To hear he's going to the Albert Bartlett.
it's hard. I said at the beginning for me, PK, Gordon Elliott holds the key here, and it's what he's going to run. You know, probably thinking about it logically, they'll split Hollow Games and Ginto 1.5, 1.3 miles. That would put Hollow Games in here, and he'd probably be the one I'd say.
Okay. Rory?
I would, same argument as Ruby, but I would go with Ginto. I think you can see that they're likely to go Ballymore with him, but I'd be really interested in him here. I think he wants the 3 miles. I also should say that I've backed Blazing Cal. I've backed him since he was mentioned as a non-runner. We'll see whether he actually appears in the entries later in the week. And I just see, I'm not suggesting anything untoward here, but I think it's a kind of scenario you're in where a horse should be good enough for Punchestown, but Cheltenham's going to come too soon. They're liable to put an entry in for him at Cheltenham anyway, just in case he recovers quicker than expected. So I, you know, when he hits massive prices, I had a few balls.
The giggling for Frankie. I assume we took him out of the betting, yes, Frank?
You don't want people.
Yeah, that's fair enough. He's been officially, or well, the news has said that he's not going to make it.
If he's in the entries when they come out, we'll have to put him back in. But
We've been here before, you know.
We've been here
with the likes of Kicking King and the Gold Cup and stuff like that. And there's no
King was a dirty. King was a dirty scope, though.
Yes, it was. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I got the impression Blazing Cal was muscular. Maybe it's not, but
if he misses 3 weeks of work or a month of work, then that's out. Yeah. And if he's not entered in the race, then that's clearly out as well. But you know, it's always nice to be able to say, oh, I had a five from him at 100 back in January, and he wasn't in the race. So I'm just being a bit.
When he's entered the race, it's nice.
Being a little bit of a gobshite, to be perfectly honest.
Or you could be a shrewd. Who knows?
Okay. All right. Well, the entries, you'll be definitely refreshing the BHA website when those entries come through. Okay. So Hollow Games, Ginto, and Jerry Cologne all getting mentioned. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We have, that's a really, really detailed look at the three novice hurdles. Before we wrap up, I'm just going to remind you that we will have some nice enhances for you on the Paddy Power website on the basis of the lad selections.
Yeah, we might pull up, because we all went for different Gordon horse, we might put up Gordon Elliott to win the Albert Bartlett just to cover all bases.
That would interest me now.
Yeah, well, Frank Hickey, you should work in marketing. That's pretty impressive. I think that's a good shout. A reminder, if you want to go to the Dublin Racing Festival and you haven't managed to get tickets yet, and I know that they are hard to get, we have got 5 pairs. All you have to do is retweet this very podcast on the Paddy Power feed and use the hashtag FTHM and say something nice. And quote the tweet so you can say something nice. And then basically you're in the hat for a potential nice little day to the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup Day. Are you going, Ruby Walsh? Of course.
100%.
Yeah, of course.
I hope I am. Drastically wrong if I'm not there.
Yeah, well, you're either working for RT or Racing TV or Willie
Bones.
Both.
Divide and conquer, PK.
Good man. Frank Kiki, you going?
I'm going on Saturday. And I was hoping to go on Sunday because we're having kind of a work party, like our delayed Christmas party on the Sunday. But it's also my 5th wedding anniversary. So I broke the news to Jill last week and it did not go down well. So maybe the Sunday might not be an on-runner now for me.
Did you get your invite to that, PK, did you?
I actually didn't.
It's the racing team.
Mine's in the post as well, isn't it?
Oh, no, it's the racing team.
Don't worry.
We're busy anyway. You'll be working. Rory, you gone?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but, you know, any invitations considered.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you probably got one, Rory. Yeah.
All you have to do is quote the tweet, retweet it, Rory, just say something nice about it. I'm on this podcast and it's great. Ladies and gentlemen, funny enough, Frank,
I'd say after the year yourself and Jid have had, I'd say maybe going to the wedding anniversary might just be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. No, I was kind of thinking if I get a nice night away in like Powers Court or the Westbury, that it might, you know, buy me a bit of freedom for the Sunday, but no, it's not worth it.
Yeah, no. I think for your own sanity, is definitely don't go. You'll get the crack out of the Saturday. Don't worry,
your brandy points never carry over.
No.
Yeah, it has to be used instantaneously.
Long division. It's good work.
It's funny how they're able to remember all the bad things forever, but the good things like are forgotten 2 days later.
That's the rules.
At the risk of this becoming the most unwoke podcast, we will say goodbye. We'll be back next week. We're going to look ahead to a couple of the novice chases. So that should be interesting. The Turner novice chase and the Brown Advisory novice chase. Let's call them the Golden Miller and the Broadway. Now that's probably more confusing to various people. We'll be looking ahead to those next week. We'll be back this weekend, as always, for a tipping podcast. Matt Chapman, hopefully back after a stunning weekend of tipping that he's going to remind Frank Hickey about multiple times on Friday. Listen out for that. But until then, stay safe, stay well, stay looking.